Okay, back to the dinim of Kiddush. We learned you have to make Kiddush Friday night and Shabbos day. Now the Gemara learns that Kiddush has to be in the place of the meal. Ein Kiddush shalom b'makim se'udah. Now what is the definition of the meal that we're saying that it has to be in the place of? It doesn't have to be the meal that you're eating, the Shabbos meal. As long as you eat 1 ounce of cake or another full cup of wine or grape juice, that's called b'makim se'udah. But if somebody, let's say, hears Kiddush in a shul by a Kiddush, and they don't eat an ounce of cake, they just eat even a plate of cholent that's not necessarily mezainis, or they'll have some herring or whatever, and they don't eat a kezayis of cake or challah or whatever, then they're not yaitzei Kiddush. So number one, they can't eat because they didn't hear Kiddush, and they have to go home and make Kiddush again because they were not fulfilling their obligation. Now this din of Kiddush makom seudah is two things. Number one, you have to eat it right away. You can't wait in between the Kiddush and the meal. And secondly, it has to be in the room where you make Kiddush. You can't make Kiddush, let's say, here in the room, in the tent, and go eat the meal outside. That's a different place. It's not called Bok, even if you have in mind. That's only good for brachis, you know, before brachis, after brachis. But here, Kiddush has to be in the place where you're actually eating. The whatever the meal is, cake or whatever it is.
Can you, if you know you're going to make Kiddush at home, can you hear Kiddush have cholent and not have a zernis hafakhila?
No, if you're going to go, even if you know you're going home to make Kiddush, but you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. If you're not yaitzei Kiddush in the shul because you didn't eat mezainis, then you can't eat cholent because you're eating before Kiddush, which you're not allowed to.
So the mezainis is a must.
That's what I'm saying. The mezainis is a must. Or another cup, or the vias, 3 ounces of wine or grape juice. But if you don't do that, that's what I'm saying. It's very common by a Kiddush. People hear Kiddush and then they take a tiny cracker or and then they'll eat a bowl of cholent or whatever. And they're not yaitzei Kiddush because you need Kiddush makom seudah. And even if you're going to go home and make Kiddush later, that's fine for later. But it's not good for now. You can't eat. Now, okay. We said this. Okay. Now, again, we mentioned this the other day. If somebody wants to, okay, we said the way we hold is you can have cake and coffee before davening on Shabbos morning. And the obligation of Kiddush begins after Shachris. Other opinions say the obligation of Kiddush even begins in the morning, but they hold it, you're not allowed to eat before davening. So what they're allowed to do is, after Shachris, before Musaf, in many of the Litvish Shushuls, they do this, by the way, in the Yeshiva Shushuls, after Shachris, they'll make Kiddush, they'll have, let's say, Makom Seudah, they'll eat something, not a big full meal, it says, and then they'll learn or whatever, and then they'll daven Musaf later. But once again, once Shachris comes, you have to make Kiddush according to all opinions. You can't have a Kiddush club unless, like we said yesterday, they make Kiddush properly with Makom Seudah and everything else. Next. What happened? Okay, now, next thing is like this. The Gemara says, on Shabbos, you have to eat three meals. You have to eat three meals on Shabbos. Why do you have to eat three meals on Shabbos? So the hint to it, by the way, there's one opinion in the Gemara, Reb Chitka, who was a Tana, he said you have to eat four meals on Shabbos. But the Gemara refutes him. He said, no. In fact, some people say, if you say, let's eat four meals to fulfill that opinion, they say it's like apikorsis. Because the Gemara says clearly, the halacha is not going to get Reb Chitka. But the halacha is, you need to eat three meals. Now, the third meal, it says in halacha, even though preferably in halacha, I'm saying, is to even wash and eat bread and all that. But you could be yaitzeh with cake. According to many opinions, it could be yaitzeh with fruit. And why do we have the three meals? So the alluding to it is in Parshas B'Shalach, when the Torah speaks about the mon, which is the concept of the lechem mishnah, the double bread, you know, the mon. So over there, the pasuk says like this. Ichlu hayayim, speaks about the mon. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ichlu hayayim, eat it today. Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem. Today is Shabbos Tashem. Hayayin loisim tu basadim. Today you won't find man in the field. So because it says three times the word hayayin, so therefore there's an obligation to eat three meals. By chassidim, by Chabad, they usually spent that time reviewing a maimer, chazing a maimer, because it's a very lofty level of Shabbos. But nevertheless, it says even in our customs, you have to eat something as the third meal, whether it's cake or fruit. Now, we said already that if you have cake before davening, then you have Shabbos lunch, so then that cake is counted as the third meal for later, so to speak. It doesn't have to be in that order. But the din is as follows, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, especially when it comes to the women. Anytime you eat bread on Shabbos, you need to have lech mishnah. You need to have two challahs, men and women, both. If a woman is eating Shabbos meal by herself and she made kiddush, she has to have lech mishnah. She doesn't have to eat both challahs, but you need two matzahs, two challahs present at the time you're making a meitzi. If somebody's eating 10 meals on Shabbos for whatever reason, you're eating bread, every time you eat bread, you need to have lech mishnah. Okay? If you're having mezainis, then you don't need lech mezainis. I mean, you don't need mezainis, double mezainis. But bread, you need to have two, and this applies to men and women.
You have a half of really used loaf of challah. Can you cut two loaves of it and make kiddush on that?
You mean, you're not kiddush, you mean...
Sections.
You mean, okay. So there's two different things what you talk. You mentioned now three different things.
Did you know?
Okay. Halach is like this. Let's say you have these pull-aparts. You have the pull-aparts, you know, they're round or square. Then in New York, they make the rectangular pull-aparts. You pull them apart. So... preferably, it shouldn't be used as separate lech mishnas. Why? Because it's sold as one unit. It's one challah. They make it in a way that you can break it up, but it's baked together. It's not baked separately and they just stick it together. It's baked together. But halacha says, poskim right, that what happens if you don't have lech mishnah? That's what you have. So then you could use it for lech mishnah, each section of the pull apart. Now, what happens if somebody just has a half a challah? That's it. He doesn't have a pull apart. He has no two challahs. What should he do? So then, halacha says if you have no choice, you can't get a matzah, you can't get whatever, you could take two separate small pieces, not whole ones, broken pieces, and you could do lech mishnah on it. There's a story with the previous Rebbe that when the previous Rebbe was in 770, so guys were walking from Williamsburg, from Brownsville. In those days, they would walk to Crown Heights. So there's a guy, a bacher, that came, I think it was a bacher, that came late. The Friedrich Rebbe was already in the middle of his meal. The Friedrich Rebbe said to him, did you make Kiddush? He said, nope. So the Rebbe gave him his bacher, told him, make Kiddush. Then he went to wash. But there are no lech mishnas left because they were already in the middle of the meal. There was no... So the way the story goes, the previous Rebbe took two pieces of challah, put it in front of the guy, and he said in Yiddish, the famous Yiddish expression, in English it's going to kill it, but in Yiddish the expression is, "Snishto azak ganzer v'yatze brochener." There's nothing as complete as a broken one.
Broken heart?
That's what it means, but not broken, you know, not a depressed heart, but, you know, bittle heart. So the Friedrich Rebbe put it down, two separate pieces, and he told the guy, there's nothing more complete than someone who is broken. They say there's a lot of Yiddish expression like this. There's nothing as straight as a crooked ladder. Because, you know, a ladder, you can't put it upright. You have to slant it. So there's nothing as straight as a crooked ladder. There's a lot of expressions in Yiddish that they have like this. But in Yiddish, there's an expression, especially it's brought down in Chassidish Sfarim. There's nothing as complete as a broken one. So it says in Allah, basically, if there's nothing else that you can use, so then you could do it.
So Rabbi, I'm not the smartest one in the room. So maybe you answer the question. I have one loaf of bread. I cut it, I have two pieces, and then I say bravo, correct?
Yeah, but that's not the way to do it. If you have no choice.
I have one piece of bread.
Yeah. That's if you have no choice. But originally, lechatchila. No, no. That's what you're asking?
He has a shlema. He has one shlema.
Right. One shlema.
No, it would be better than to make a bracha on the complete one. He's saying already if it was already broken.
That was my question.
No, if it's better probably to make a bracha on the whole one.
My brachot says that yeah. The whole one has more than.
Yes. It's preferably, generally speaking, to make a bracha on a whole one, on something whole, rather than a half. Even if the half is more prominent. Like if you have a whole apple or a half a pomegranate. Now, pomegranate is one of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, Shiva Saminim. But most poskim say it's better to make a bracha eitz on an apple because it's whole rather than the pomegranate, even though it's a more prominent fruit than if it's cut. It's not a whole one. Okay, we said you need two kikri shleimis. Women are also, you know, have to have lechem mishnah. Now, when you make the bracha meitzi, you're supposed to hold both chalas in your hand. Okay? Now, there's a whole procedure we're doing, talking now Friday night, not Shabbos day. Now, the problem is like this. I have two chalas. Okay, I have two chalas. Yeah? So now I have to make a bracha meitzi. So the din is I hold both chalas in my hands. But you have to put them together because you need two chalas. And two chalas coming together. That's what lechem mishnah is. So it says, according to Kabbalah, you should start the bottom one Friday night. But there's a din in halacha that you're supposed to start the top one because it's closer, it's more prominent. Top is more prominent than bottom. But yet in halacha it says you should cut the closer one. And Kabbalah says you cut the bottom one. So therefore the minig is, according to Kabbalah, that's our minig, that Friday night, you put the chalas in such a way that the bottom challah is closer to you. So you put them like this, you know, that one on top, one at the bottom, but the bottom one is closer to you, and because it's closer to you, so then you're making a bracha on the one that's closer to you, and the bottom one, and it's also closer to you instead of the top one.
If you have one big one and one small one, does it matter which one
is the bracha? Halachically, it would be better to start the big one. That's what I'm saying. So then you could start the little one. Because that's what's more precious to you now. If it's more precious to you now, so then you're allowed to do that. Yeah, but you're supposed to put the way in. The bottom one is... That's for Shabbos day.
Shabbos day.
Okay.